If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
Welcome to the AI Hustle Podcast, the podcast where we break down the latest in AI news, tools, and interview experts helping you hustle and do more using AI. If you've been following the podcast for a while, you'll know that over the last 6 months, I've been working on a stealth AI startup. Of the hundreds of projects I've covered, this is the one that I believe has the greatest potential. So today I'm excited to announce AI Box. AI Box is a no-code AI app building platform paired with the App Store for AI that lets you monetize your AI tools. The platform lets you build apps by linking together AI models like ChatGPT, Midjourney, and 11 Labs. Eventually, we'll integrate with software like Gmail, Trello, and Salesforce so you can use AI to automate every function in your organization. To get notified when we launch and be one of the first to build on the platform, you can join the waitlist at aibox.ai. The link is in the show notes. We are currently raising a seed round of funding. If you're an investor that is focused on disruptive tech, I'd love to tell you more about the platform. You can reach out to me at jaden@aibox.ai. I'll leave that email in the show notes.
Welcome to the ChatGPT podcast. I'm your host, Jaden Schaefer. On the podcast with me today, we are joined by Matthew Iverson, the CEO of AppRabbit, and also PromptBox, the AI prompt saving company. Today on the podcast, we are going to be talking about what is happening in AI today, some big news out of Japan, some big legal decisions they've made. A 1 trillion model, token model just got open sourced, the biggest yet, and the implications that's going to have. So a lot of really cool stuff. And thanks for jumping on the podcast with us today, Matt.
Yeah, of course. I'm pumped. What's going on in Japan?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest pieces of news that we're seeing is that Japan, and actually, I know this is going to be controversial for a lot of people in a lot of industries. I think this was a good play. But essentially what's happening is in Japan, they made a rather surprising move where essentially they said they're not going to enforce any copyright data on anything that is used in AI training, aka AI in Japan can go and grab any content, any images, any video, and make whatever they want, and there's no copyright issue there. So, of course, the number one people that are complaining about this are, like, artists. And, I mean, it's understandable, right? You, like, go and spend, like, 10 years making a portfolio of art. AI sucks it up and then can reproduce it. So those people are obviously complaining. What's your take on it?
Yeah, I understand the whole artist thing. It kind of sucks for them because it's like their entire belief system and like who they are is kind of rooted in that. And then AI just comes and like literally twists it. I see a lot of that in like Discord, like, hey, you can't use that. That's my art. Or even as when I was trying to get influencers to promote PromptBox, a lot of them would have like problems with like, I'm like, hey, show them like a cool prompt. They're like, I can't like do this picture or that prompt because like it doesn't belong to me. And like that type of ownership just is totally foreign to me. I'm like, because as an entrepreneur, I see a good ad, I literally screenshot it and I send it to my designer and I say, copy this.
Right.
Or like if right. I see like good copywriting, I like copy the email. I'm like, ChatGPT, just like write this. But for me, it's like right. Copying is like, and stealing is like kind of the name of the game in entrepreneurship. I think a lot in science. And so in art, it's like frowned upon and like disgraceful. So you
know,
I get it.
It's definitely like that with software too. I know, you know, having done a number of software projects, and it sounds bad to say stealing, but literally it's like, okay, we got to design an account page. I'm like, okay, what does like Google do for their account page? What is like, I go look at like 10 other software, like what do they do for their account page? And then I like screenshot them and I make some sort of like similar thing. I'm like, you know, this looks like industry standard. But it's interesting because like a lot of slides of different software I have, it's like this page looks very similar to this software. This page looks very similar to that software. And I kind of like pick the best. And I think the whole industry does that, right? It's like, oh man, these guys have some good designs. It becomes trendy. And then everyone kind of rolls out something similar, even though your software might be doing something completely different. And so I think that's getting carried over into AI as well in that mentality. So the big reason I think that Japan decided to do that is because essentially they don't want to get bogged down. They want to be number one in AI and they're worried that the copyright is going to slow them down. As is, we already have, you know, we already have OpenAI who's taken the lead in America. We have Google Bard who's taken the lead in America. I think that a lot of countries, you know, they don't want to miss out on this bandwagon. And so like they're making a move that, you know, I highly doubt the US would make this same copyright move, but they're doing it so that they can be number one. And it's interesting because they called out two things in specific that they said they're like worried about in this whole case. And that is anime and visual media. So they're worried like the anime industry of Japan was going to like hamper AI's, you know, progress and slow it down or whatever. So I thought that was kind of interesting. But in any case, yeah, it's out. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see if AI excels there. I guess the quality of the outputs of AI, you just have more data that you can suck in and you know you're not going to get sued. So I wonder if people will like move their AI companies to be located in Japan because they know they're not going to have the copyright issues that you might have in America and not the lawsuits and legislation.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, they'll be like the Bahama banks. It'll be like the, you know, the no yeah. copyright Japan. It's like, oh yeah. Yeah, he's totally got a shell company in Japan.
Yeah, that runs like the AI model. Like what happens? Like OpenAI, like it's like, okay, we're about to get litigated for $1 billion, or we just sell our model and all of our licenses to our Japan shell company, and it's totally legal over there, and it runs out of there. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what happens in that space. Okay, so the other thing that is pretty interesting that just happened is the fact that the UAE's open source AI model just became royalty free. So essentially what happened is the Technology Innovation Institute, TII, they have this model called the Falcon 40B, and it's essentially their top AI model. And they just open sourced it. They put it on Hugging Faces. It's now the number one used model on Hugging Faces. It's beating things like Meta's Llama and also Stability AI's Stable LM. So like it is now the biggest one. And this is the craziest part. It was trained on 1 trillion tokens.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting because even OpenAI, I think they announced the number for ChatGPT, how many tokens was in there, but they still haven't come out and said how many tokens are in GPT-4. And I could be completely off, but it's somewhere in the billions for ChatGPT. They never announced GPT-4. There's a couple of reasons why I think they might have done that, but this is the first time I've actually heard someone publicly come out and say like a trillion tokens in an AI model. So like obviously this thing is a very big, very aggressive. Why do you think these people would be open sourcing something like this instead of keeping it private?
I don't know. What are they called again?
Falcon 40B.
Okay. And then how did they get access to all? They just got access from Hugging Face, or that's just where they're hosting it on, right?
So they're hosting the model on Hugging Faces. They got the data independently and trained it off of that. So some people are saying that they're saying that it's going to let the public and private people benefit from faster project starts, right? Because you have this massive, like it's open source model. And I think it's interesting. I feel like a lot of these people are releasing stuff for goodwill. There's a lot of different things. I know Facebook has released a lot of models, and I would speculate, like, aside from just getting like the goodwill around their brand name from releasing a model like this, I feel like maybe Facebook will release like their own chips in the future to compete with NVIDIA. And then they're going to say like, hey, if you want like, you know, this model that's really popular and open source, if you want it to run the best, you got to run it on our chips. They said they're going to be producing chips, fabricating them by 2025. So I wonder if these other players have similar strategies, or I guess what their angle is, perhaps just making the world a better place, but it is pretty insane. So it should be a pretty, pretty big advancement having this be completely open source.
So they just, the Falcon 40B model, they just changed the name of it apparently to Apache 2, which is nice because the that name was kind of crazy, which means that this model is now free for any usage, including commercial use. Wow.
Yeah, I wonder, like, you know, we've heard the memo come out of Google where they said, like, we don't have a moat and neither does OpenAI on all of this stuff. It's going to be interesting. I feel like on the one hand, I was like, well, the moat is like all the data that you've gathered, because right now we have people like Reddit that say, no, we're going to start charging. We have people like Twitter that just shut off all API access to OpenAI to, you know, gather their data and put it in. We have people like Stack Overflow said they're charging. Everyone like realized they're like data is the new oil. I recently heard a VC say, and so people are shutting down or locking out their data so that they can sell it. And so I was like, okay, awesome. Like ChatGPT, Google Bard, that's their moat, right? But when you have someone like this that just like kind of comes on the sidelines, like, oh, by the way, we have a trillion token model we just trained, and here it's open source. Like, I feel like that digs into that moat pretty hard.
Yeah, it's kind of like the, you know, like the new model that a lot of influencers are taking, like give everything away for free and then like live off the traffic. It's kind of like, if you're giving it all away, that's a pretty, that's pretty hardcore. Do you know who's doing it? Is it just like a bunch of random developers?
The Technology Innovation Institute, which it comes out of the United Arab Emirates. I'm not sure if that's from their sovereign wealth fund. So like if it's like the country that created it, or if that's just one of their institutions there. But it's interesting because it's not in the States. And I feel like I'm starting to see, right, with this news from Japan, with this move out of the UAE, we're starting to see like other countries that are actually creating some of this really powerful technology. And I know that this might sound crazy, but think about this for a second. Let's say you, you're a competitor to, I could see Google and Microsoft doing this perhaps, but like, let's say you're a competitor to one of those companies and you see like all the market share that OpenAI and Microsoft are pulling up. Like, wouldn't you imagine if you had the ability? So maybe this is Facebook's play. Facebook just released their Lambda for free. It's open source. Maybe they see all of the like traffic headlines and progress and money that Microsoft and Google are making from Bard and OpenAI. And maybe they're releasing theirs for free, almost as like a slap in the face to those guys. They're not necessarily competing in that arena, but they're like, oh, you guys are going to charge like an arm and a leg for this? Okay, here it is, open source, free for everyone. And it almost like, it's like, instead of building something productive for their own company, it's almost just like tearing down their competitor. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, that's a good revenue source. Okay, it's free. So take that off your $1 billion valuation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past Zuck or some of these other guys to pull moves like that explicitly for that reason.
Wouldn't that be crazy? And then all the people back them and they're like, this is how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be free.
Right, exactly.
It'd be interesting to build a company that like just rips another one down and then the other company just has to like pretty much buy you. That'd be like an infinite money glitch though, because you could just do it again and again.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, we've definitely seen it in software before. And then there's also the whole model where a big one, like, for example, Facebook might release something completely free. It's hard. Once you do an open source, you can't get it back. It's out in the public, so it's gone. But, I mean, you see things like Amazon, for example, got sued for antitrust reasons because they dropped the price of, like, diapers to super cheap. I guess it was back in the days when diapers.com was their big competitor. Diapers.com goes out of business because they can't compete with the super cheap prices of diapers on Amazon, and then Amazon just puts it back to normal prices because, you know, they can afford it. So anti-competitive practices like that, it'd be interesting to see if that's happening in the software. But with open source, it's kind of hard to make that claim because they really did give it away for free. It's like, it'd be the equivalent of, you know, giving away an unlimited free diaper subscription. Like they just get it. It's just free. So aside from hosting or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
Huh, that is crazy.
Okay, so something else that recently came out, and this is something I personally have been skeptical about, but maybe it's just me. Instacart recently, they just released an AI, what they call AI shopping buddy. And if you know Instacart, they've been kind of like on the cutting edge, I guess, or they've had some pretty deep partnerships with OpenAI from like the very beginning. I believe they're like one of the first plugins that launched on GPT-4. And even before that, I think they actually got access to GPT-4 before anybody else on their app to help with like shopping. for you, have you ever, well, first off, are you a customer of Instacart? Have you ever used a product like that for like shopping or anything?
So my wife does, yeah. And we order pretty much everything. Like we hardly go to the store at all for anything.
Okay.
At this point. So Instacart, they plug into like a bunch of different stores, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I believe it's kind of like the Uber for shopping. So do you use Instacart or do you use something else?
I think we use Instacart unless like, for example, if you order something from like Walmart or Target, is that Instacart or is that like their own in-house thing?
That's a good question. So I know we use the Walmart Plus or whatever. We do all of our shopping online mostly, unless there's like some random thing we got to get. It like, honestly, like it saves us so much time. Like yeah. every time my wife gives me a list of like, you know, 10 things to go get from the grocery store for like a party or like a dinner that we're having, the amount of time it takes me to walk around the aisles of this super Walmart from one side to the other to find like 10 items. I'm like, please just order this on the app, like shows up at your door. So I know that for Walmart, they have in-store shoppers that are Walmart associates gathering it, but I think the delivery, they still might have outsourced to Instacart or other platforms because the way that they like ask for a tip and they do things that are like that, I think that they might be outsourcing the delivery. So I think it possibly is still Instacart fulfilling that while it might be Walmart inside anyways. But the thing that they've just integrated inside of Instacart itself is a new AI search tool called Ask Instacart. It's just ChatGPT pretty much. Pretty much what it is doing is it is helping customers by providing personalized recommendations for their shopping questions, which means product recommendation, info on food prep, dietary considerations, that kind of stuff. Here's my thing, and maybe GPT-4 solved this, but like when ChatGPT first came out, there was like this whole thing where it was like, oh yeah, like get it to like write you a recipe for anything you want. And then it was like, oh my gosh, wouldn't that be crazy if that was integrated into Instacart? You like get a recipe and then it plugs in and then it goes buys all the stuff for you.
Right.
So we were testing it out and I was like, yay, give me a recipe for cookies. And like, if you made the recipes it gave you, it was like horrible. Right. Like it was just wrong. It was just like completely wrong. And so possibly GPT-4 solved this, but I'm still skeptical of like AI specifically in food prep when it's asking you about like product recommendations and all that kind of stuff. Maybe product recommendations would be better, or shopping questions. So maybe just like a chat bot thing that they have in there would be better. But like when it comes to the specific recipes, and that integration, which I feel like they've been trying to do with a lot of the Instacart stuff, I feel like it's really sketchy. And I've seen like blogs and stuff where people are making the food and it's like bad, but maybe got fixed in GPT-4. So I don't know.
I just downloaded the Instacart plugin. It's funny. They finally, this is new. I think today, or at least I just got it. The plugin store finally has a search bar.
Oh my gosh. Thank goodness. Yeah. I was so sick of like scrolling through 17 pages on the ChatGPT plugin store.
It's like, how could you even tell someone to go use your plugin? Like, yeah. Like you couldn't even do it.
I'm page 72. So just click the arrow over till you get there.
It's crazy. So with the plugin of that, the crazy thing still about plugins too, is that basically you enable the plugin and then it doesn't like give you prompts or anything. You just have to start typing, right? Like right. That's pretty nuts. Dude, I think that Instacart, I think it's clever to be like, hey, where can I find this at this store? And it'd be like, yeah, you can find it here at this store. Like, do you want to order it? And you say, yeah. And that just does it. That's cool.
So Instacart actually is, and I think that this AI, this new Ask Instacart AI feature plays into this, but they actually recently made some headlines because in today's economy or whatever, I guess their revenue was slipping. And so what they did is they introduced like in-app ads, like they would advertise Coca-Cola or a specific brand of bread over another one. And they made like, I think over $1 billion in a quarter off of those ads. So they actually significantly like helped their revenue from this ad thing. I was looking at it. I feel like it might've been like 30% revenue increase or something from this. So, so I believe if they're doing this AI tool, it would be interesting to see, you know, how you can like prompt inject and like get a prompt. Let's see what the prompt is. It'd be interesting if it's OpenAI's ChatGPT, if you could prompt inject, you know, like their product recommendation and see if they're adding any like, and make sure if they ask for soda, you recommend Pepsi instead of Coca-Cola, or make sure you like recommend X, Y, and Z. It'd be interesting if they did that on like the prompt level. I highly doubt they would do that. That'd be pretty, well, first off, that'd be pretty manual for, you know, having to change that if you got a different sponsorship from a different product, but also pretty sketchy. People could figure it out. So it's probably on a more like a software level or whatever, but that'd be pretty hilarious.
That would be cool. I just asked it to buy me some sugar. Sure, you can purchase sugar. Here's your Instacart shopping link. And then it gives me like a little picture and then I click on it and then it takes me to Instacart.com and it has a cart and it has me, oh, it says available at your zip code. And then it says Costco delivery by 11:14. So it says it could be here in half an hour.
Okay, so it does seem like Instacart is plugged into like Walmart and Costco and all the other things for like the fulfillment aspect of it.
We have Costco, Safeway, Natural Grocers, yeah, a bunch of stuff. And so basically all I have to do is say yes. I have to log in, I think. But yeah, I put it in a cart for me. So that's cool. It didn't really give me an option. I guess I probably could have been more specific, but it's like cane sugar, like a 10-pound bag of cane sugar. So that's cool. Interesting. So would I use this? Would I actually use this to shop? I don't do any of the shopping here, but like, would I, maybe, I don't know. Maybe if it would have to like put together an ingredient list or something though, but it would have to be one that's like legit. Like maybe you'd have to be like super healthy recipe for this, like using these ingredients, like dairy free, like put some parameters in place and maybe it could do it for you then.
I think two things. Number one, I feel like more effective than having this built into Instacart, maybe having it built into like a specific like Costco shopping or Walmart shopping or like the grocery store that you're actually planning on going to. Because I know for me, like what I put a list in and they're like, okay, these five ingredients are available at Walmart. These seven are available here. These are here, here, here. And then like, I gotta like pay different things. And there's like, I don't know, that just seems like too convoluted. So I think I would probably be more likely to go to like Walmart. I know my wife does this, right? She picks like seven meals that we're doing for dinner this week. And she like goes and finds a recipe online for them. And then she goes on Walmart and like finds that stuff. It'd be pretty cool if she could do that same process, but just copy and paste the whole list, plug it into like a Walmart thing where it's like, I need like this recipe list and these ingredients. And then it just pulls them all up into your cart. I don't even know if you need AI to do that though. It's like the interesting thing, but maybe if you're more conversational with it and you just said, hey, I would like these like seven different dinners. And then maybe Walmart integrates with like a recipe. That's the thing. It's just AI and recipes is sketchy. And I think that's where people are using it. I think you just have to integrate with like allrecipes.com. Like, why don't you just integrate with allrecipes.com and find the top pancake recipe for pancakes and the top like chili recipe for chili and then just pull off of that. I'm skeptical about food and AI.
Right. I know that I was listening to another podcast where the guy goes to, it's My First Million, and the guy goes to like this $1 billion dinner. And the kind of like the cool thing about this dinner, billionaires were there.
Yeah.
And they'd gotten the whole recipe. They'd gotten the whole food layout like done by AI. And so they had like given it to a chef after the fact. And like he went and like built all these things. I guess the food was good, but yeah, that does sound a bit
sketchy. I mean, I'm sure if you give it to a chef and he looks at the recipe and he's like, no, that's kind of off. I'll tweak it.
I wonder how closely he followed it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Dude, so what is your take on NVIDIA passing a $1 trillion market cap with all of their new AI software they've pulled out? Like they're above like Tesla. These guys are cruising right now in a very small group.
Everyone thought that Elon would be the guy to like bring a company past a trillion, right? But they're not there yet, right? What are they at?
So Google, Microsoft, a lot of these guys have already passed a trillion. I guess, right, like look at inflation nowadays. So I think it might have been easier than people suspected 5 years ago. But so they briefly passed $1 trillion market cap and then they went back down there in the 900 billions right now. But I mean, it's not inconceivable to think they'll get there.
Right, soon. Right. Yeah, I guess I meant the next company. Yeah, Apple's already at 2.8 trillion.
Yeah. Apple is absolutely crushing it. You know, it's pretty interesting. Apple gets a lot of flack for like not being very innovative in this AI space, not having like a lot of AI tools come out like with everybody else. What's Microsoft at right now?
I'm looking at all companies. So Apple is first, Microsoft's at 2.4.
Okay.
Then Alphabet's at 1.5. Amazon's at 1.2. And then NVIDIA is at 0.93. So NVIDIA is the next on the list.
It's getting close. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's not a company that 5 years ago, if you would have asked people like, what would be the next $1 trillion company? I guarantee NVIDIA was not going to make that list. It was just like, and this is the other interesting thing. People literally said NVIDIA was in trouble circa like 6 months ago, because right at the end of the pandemic, people stopped buying as many gaming PCs because, you know, during the pandemic, everyone was just going crazy on tech. Everyone was cooped up, right? So like gaming stuff was going crazy. NVIDIA tech was just like selling out for gamers. So anyways, after the pandemic, that slowed down. And then also NVIDIA made a ton of money during the whole crypto boom because all the crypto miners were running on NVIDIA tech and all their GPUs and all that. So with like crypto winter and the pandemic being over, so less gaming stuff, people literally were like, and actually the CEO of NVIDIA said like, we overproduce GPUs. We're going to have to sell them at like, he might have said like lower cost or below cost. It wasn't good. Like the situation for NVIDIA wasn't looking good. And then all of a sudden we have AI come up and it literally saved them, because in that first quarter this year, where they were supposed to kind of take a bit of a dump, they just got lit on fire by everyone buying their GPUs for AI model training.
Yeah, NVIDIA has always been a little bit ahead of the curve. I learned about them from, well, a couple stuff and a couple podcasts. And I also looked them up after the fact, but like NVIDIA, they've always kind of planned for like the long game, and they've kind of like, as soon as competition starts coming up onto them, they kind of like leave the thing they were focused on. They move on to like something that'll be future-proof. Like I know the AI stuff, the fact that they're able to embrace it so easily was like due to like some hardcore strategy that they implemented.
Yeah, very forward-thinking company, I think. And that is an interesting strategy. So here's what I'm seeing, though, is a lot of other people like see this gold rush for AI and for AI chips in general and are like, okay, sweet, we're going to build the chips. I feel like NVIDIA has a pretty solid lead. I wonder if how long it will last, though. But the thing is, like, Facebook announced they're going to come up with their chips in 2025, but like they got to go build a manufacturing hub. Like, that's 2025. That's in like a year and a half, right? Or maybe more, maybe 2 years. So like 2 years of like AI explosive growth, everything being built on NVIDIA, it's going to be hard for someone like even Facebook to catch up to that. That's going to be insane.
You know what's going to put NVIDIA in trouble? There's one thing. There's one glaring thing that could really sink their ship.
Oh, no.
Like if China decides that it's time, you know, for the island to go down, that's when.
Is that where they're all based? Are they headquartered out of Taiwan?
Yeah.
Ooh.
They're like 100% Taiwan. So, ooh. And like, that's so contentious. So if Taiwan goes down, pretty much it's like equivalent to like the US not having oil anymore. Like we can't build computers. We can't build phones. Like we can't do anything.
And the thing about that is it's not very far-fetched, because we just passed an act where we're not giving them certain like silicone chips and stuff. So what? They're like, okay, sweet. We'll just seize the NVIDIA factories. And now we own the $1 trillion company. And like, are we going to stop buying NVIDIA GPUs that are the most highly contested thing at the pinnacle of this like AI gold rush? Oof, that's going to be a tough decision.
There's so much money involved. Like
so much money involved.
The Ukraine, like after seeing what's going on with the Ukraine, it's like, you know how easy it'd be for like some conspirators, like in different countries, to like send people over to like destroy Taiwan and then blame it on China, or maybe China actually does it, or Russia, or we do it because they did something to us, or like whatever. Like it could easily be like knocked down. And it's been like in the news so much, like China circling with boats and planes, and we're like, yeah, hey, don't
that could be them. Massive. I wonder what sort of a blip that an invasion on Taiwan would have on like the entire AI industry in general. That would be insane. One thing I will say that is interesting is, of course, the US recently passed the CHIPS Act to start manufacturing chips here in the US. I think that's a pretty like one thing people have like credited the Biden administration is doing well. And I think what's interesting is even here in Arizona where I live, I know we're kind of like a chip place. We're not big on like software tech companies, but we have a lot of chip manufacturing. Intel's been here for like 20 years, I think. And Taiwan Semiconductor Company, TSI, wait, whatever, is building a bunch of, I think they have one headquarters and they're building another one here in Arizona. And so like a ton of people I know are working for like chip manufacturing and with Taiwan Semiconductors and also with Intel, more so when I lived back in Mesa. But yeah, it is a popular thing. So I do know that like we are starting to onshore some stuff here to the US. I think that's going to be pretty critical moving forward. And so I wonder if we're going to see a move like that from NVIDIA. I think they'd be foolish not to like start thinking of those options.
Yeah. Isn't, Kevin O'Leary is doing something where he's bringing factories here. Was it for chips?
I think under the past administration, under the Trump administration, they were more focused on like just bringing manufacturing from China or other places to the US. And now maybe it's more just like chip fabrications and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I'd be curious on that as well.
He wants to do semiconductors.
Oh, there you go. So yeah, he sees the gold rush.
Yeah. He's trying to like bring that to the US, and yeah, maybe he counts on Taiwan not being around forever. Who knows?
Yeah. It's hard. I mean, China's official stance is that they own Taiwan, and I don't see them backing down unless something, drastic happened and they really needed international support, which I don't view their economy as needing anytime soon. Okay, one other interesting thing I want to bring up with you, and I'd love to get your feedback on where you see this, how you see this impacting the industry as a whole. So recently an AI model was trained and used to discover a new antibiotic that kills, a superbug that previously they had no like remedy for. So I believe like 80% of people that caught this superbug, died from it. And so, there was no cure for it. Superbugs, essentially like there's an antibiotic and the superbug then becomes resilient to the antibiotic. So this superbug was found in hospitals. One of the things that was really detrimental about it is that it could live on a surface for a very long time. So if it's sitting there and if someone didn't disinfect a table correctly, like a week later, you touch the table, you got the superbug. And it can also live with inside of you without showing symptoms. But if someone had some sort of open wound or something and you touched them, now they got it and they're most likely would die. So it's kind of gnarly. What they ended up doing is they trained an AI where they gave it like a giant list of like chemical compounds and it's like, and its responses to like antibiotics. And then also like, I think some like, some things with some superbugs and like what they were resilient to, they fed like all of this data in, they trained a model. And in any case, they made a model that they felt like they could adequately do this. And so they go and, they feed in 6,800 compounds into this AI model. And they say, which of these is going to have the most likely chance of like being a good antibiotic for this superbug? And so the AI model ran through 6,800 and it came up with a list of about 200 that said these are highly likely. They took those 200 to the lab, tested them, found nine of them that seemed pretty viable, used them on a mouse that they like injected with the superbug or whatever. And I think most of those nine actually worked, but one of them in particular worked super well. So that's like the new one they're going to use. But apparently the way that this new compound affects this superbug is in a way that was not previously understood to science. Like it wasn't the common way we create antibiotics for superbugs. And that's what they were so surprised about by it. Anyways, what are your thoughts on where you see this going in medicine?
Well, I think that, maybe I'm a little bit of a conspiracy nut when it comes to like the pharmaceutical companies, but I think there's so much like withheld from the public, especially like surrounding cancer and like all that kind of stuff. And so I think a lot of people are probably tempted to be like, AI is going to like solve cancer. And I would be tempted to say that kind of thing too, where it's like AI is just going to solve, like, you know, this is like part of like living in utopia, like when AI hits the singularity and like we all have, you know, like perfect health because we have AI hooked up to like our glucose monitors, like in our skin. And it's like telling us what we should and shouldn't eat. And like we live forever. I think the problem is there's so much corruption and censorship around like that area that I don't like, for example, I think if we did have the cure for like certain diseases, I almost wonder if like a company like OpenAI or even the internet in general has like enough censored material on it where you wouldn't be able to like you know, it seems like it would be something that's relatively easy for AI to find out the cure for cancer if it like had the information available to it. That's why I love these open source projects. A lot of potential there. So yeah, I think
that's an interesting concept, because I do think it's like, conspiracy theory or not, obviously pharmaceutical companies are motivated by profit. And so if they find, it's interesting, because I think what, here's an optimistic take on this, because you're 100% right. Pharmaceutical companies motivated by profit, if they feel like it's going to decrease their profit, why would they do it now? And I think like withholding information, all that kind of stuff, like don't put it past them, because obviously there's been pharmaceutical companies and pharmaceutical executives that have gone to prison
for sued into the billions.
Yeah. For all sorts of things. I mean, Johnson & Johnson knew that their baby powder was giving babies cancer and continued to sell it because it made a lot of money. And now they're one of the top, they were one of the top COVID vaccines. So
Pfizer has one of the largest lawsuits in the world.
Yeah, draw your own conclusion. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's just like legal matters. And so anyways, here's an optimistic spin on it, though. Google previously had the technology that ChatGPT and OpenAI has and did not release it on like what's now Bard or their Google search, because it would cannibalize their search industry. They've been sitting on this thing for 2 years. Mm. They wrote the Transformer model paper that OpenAI used and launched it. And it wasn't until OpenAI launched ChatGPT, got all of their investors in a frenzy and forced them to create Google Bard, that they actually launched it. And so I think with, especially like you're talking with these open source models and with this technology and with something like, you know, this like antibiotic that kills super bugs, when some of these smaller therapeutic companies are coming up with these solutions, the big guys are, number one, going to try to buy them up. But also if they don't, it's going to force them to use the same methods and release the same product. So I actually think that even though I do believe a lot of pharmaceutical companies are corrupt, I think that with open source models and with the amount of like advancements we can make, they will be forced to toe the line and to make products that cannibalize other, you know, like, you know, the radiation treatments for cancer and all of that. Chemotherapy makes insane amounts of money. Of course, I have family members directly impacted by this through my whole life. And I have family members that have used different alternative solutions to chemotherapy that have seen success. And so I do believe there is a lot out there that people are not seeing. But I do believe that with open source models, even corrupt organizations will be forced to come up with some of these products, cannibalize their own business.
I think so, too. I think they're going to have to. It's kind of like gas. The gas industry kind of has to like embrace electric. Like they kind of have to, you know, as far as cars go, it's like we're kind of forcing their hands. So they kind of have to get like ahead of the curve.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is the exact same thing we've seen with Tesla, right? Like in the 90s, there was electric car companies. In fact, one of the early electric car models, it was essentially like a golf cart because cars were slow back then. But in like the 30s, there was an electric car that like came out. So electric car technology isn't something that was like incredibly new, but a lot of patents, a lot of electric car companies were just literally bought out by gas powered car companies. They would just shelve it. They would just like lock down the patents so no one could use it. And it wasn't until Tesla came out with a very viable product that started to get some mass market interest that every gas powered car company that previously was, you know, shutting the stuff down or even doing corrupt things, right? Like there's corruption. And like undisputable, not conspiracy theory. Look at Volkswagen and their whole like Dieselgate, right? They literally built a device into their car to trick regulators. So when they put it on the emissions testing machine, it gave a different amount of emissions than when it was driving. Like just blatant fraud. And of course, it was a rogue engineer that did that, that made their company billions of dollars. What a kind rogue engineer. But like, obviously there's corruption there when there's money to be made. But when a company came out with the actual product, they were that cannibalized perhaps their car sales because now they have to upscale and change their factories and change how they do everything and spend a ton of money on R&D, which they don't want to do. But as soon as Tesla did that, every single car company now is announcing electric cars and coming out with electric car options. Volkswagen's like, we're going to be 100% electric in a certain amount of years. So it's going to be the same thing with, I believe, with pharmaceuticals and other industries as well.
Yep. Yep. And AI hopefully just like kicks the crap out of all these big guys and lets like the smaller companies like disrupt as they should. Disruption is so good. It's so healthy. Like get the monopolies out and get get these small guys curing cancer. Let's do it.
Yeah, it'd be incredible. Okay, so of course, that's one area that we see it like positively impacting, I say medicine, but there's another area in health that I want to pick your brain about. And I want to get what your opinion is on this, because I know we've talked about like Neuralink and a bunch of different like things like that, and like what the potential they could have in the future is. But there is a company that recently, or some researchers that recently came out with like an active prototype in like a human trial, and they solved the problem. Essentially, there's a man that's paralyzed from the waist down. He got in a motorcycle accident, had damage to his spine, paralyzed from the waist down for the last 20 years. So this isn't something new. And they got a device embedded in his brain using AI, and he can now walk again with a walker, walk his feet. I'll explain how it works, but I'd love to get your feedback on this. So essentially what they do is, I think it was out of Switzerland, and I believe the patient is from France, but essentially they put a chip in his brain, the same as Neuralink, right? Same tech. And there's a few different types of technologies for this, but anyways, chip in the brain, measures his the brain pulses when he thinks a thought. They run that through an AI that, like, if you really got to go listen to our AI mind reading podcast episode that dives into more detail with this, but like, if you don't know, AI can read your mind. They put your brain under an fMRI scanner. While you read something, they feed the transcript of what you read and your brain signals during the from the fMRI scanner into an AI, and then it trains a model that knows, like, when your brain does this, this is the literal word you are reading. So now it can read words out of your mind. So it's going to do this. It's the same technology for this guy, where, except in his mind, he's thinking right, left, like right step, left step, right, left step, left step. He's thinking like how he's moving his legs, and it has that transmitting to, he has to wear a backpack with a full computer running the AI model on there that's transcoding this. And then, so the signal goes from that to the AI model in his backpack.
Cyborg.
Yep. Which goes to, and that backpack transmits to a device that is placed on his spine below the damage, that is sending an electrical pulse to part of his spine that tells that part of his body to move, AKA the muscles in his leg to like move.
To fire.
To fire. And it pulses it in the right way that does like the walking motion. So in any case, absolute insanity, but like without any devices and just with his mind, right? Like theoretically, you could have invented a device like this without AI that was a joystick that maybe you like pushed up your right button, pushed your left button, and it was like firing that thing that's like moving your leg.
They have that, by the way. They have that for like rats and stuff.
Okay. Yeah. So you could have something like that, but now we've taken it completely out and it's just purely your mind, which is like what we're doing every day. And people are like, oh, well, he's got to think about every single step. It's like, yeah, technically we had to think about every step until it just became automated. And it's like, so you just have these motor skills you do without thinking about them. And it's going to become the exact same thing. Here's the crazy thing. They took him off the device and he can still shuffle.
Ooh.
Like it's like bringing his like muscles and his body like back and his muscle memory back. Not as good as with on the device. But anyways, what's your take on things like Neuralink? Are you going to get one of these chips in your brain?
Yes, I'm going to get one, and I'm going to give, you know, I'm going to be able to charge people to take a controller and be able to like run me around with a GoPro on my head. Is it weird that my mind just went there? Like people are going to like sign up for like this twisted like TV show. Like it'll be on Netflix and it'll be like, you know, the human video game, and you'll just be able to like run a dude around. You know how they do it with animals?
Oh,
is,
man.
They put chips in mice. And basically, you know, when you're falling forward and you like take a step to like stop yourself from falling because mm-hmm. you get like that vertigo feeling, that's mm-hmm. basically what they tell the brain of these animals to do. So they initiate the feeling of them falling forward. So they take steps in that direction, and that's how they control these animals. So they do it with moths, I think. And they'd also do it which, like, how do you get a chip that small? Then I think about it, but they do it with rats. So if you're falling to the left or falling to the right, you step in that direction. And so that's how they,
interesting.
That's how they control it. Essentially like a video game. So that's crazy. Dude.
So that's crazy. Yeah. I don't think it's crazy that your mind goes there, because I think it brings up a very important issue, which is if these things are connected to the internet, right? If they have to do like software updates, I would assume they're going to be, then that means they're hackable. Like what happens when there's a 0-day exploit on a Neuralink chip? And I think this is relevant because Neuralink just got FDA approval to have human trials. So like,
mm-hmm. yep,
it's happening. It's not going to not happen. Like, what happens when there is a zero-day exploit on everyone's Neuralink chip and it's now hackable? Like, what could you do? What could you really do? Because Neuralink isn't necessarily having that electrical pulsar in your spine that, like, makes you walk or move your arm or something.
Right.
What would that do? You could perhaps capture someone's thoughts, like record a transcript of their thoughts.
Or maybe you could talk. Maybe this is a new way of communication. Maybe they could talk to them directly. Or I guess it's only. I guess you're thinking is read only though, right? Like for the most part.
Yeah, read only. Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the marketing stuff, right? I think you mentioned before that like Facebook has these like in their headsets, in their VR stuff, they're putting these scanners that can read your brainwaves. And then like that'll make the algorithms better. You know, live real-time feedback of what you're thinking as you watch something. I mean, that's insane.
Or think about this. Think about a company like, or a country like China. And I mean, like, come on, I'm sure the US government's got all sorts of agencies that would love to get their fingers in everyone's brains too. But like, let's think of a company like a country like China gets everyone on Neuralink and just has a live feed of every thought you're thinking every day.
Dude, that's crazy. So this is like the hive mind. And dude, what if they actually, as babies, they put like these chips on them and then they like switch them out when they're older and stuff. So it just like becomes like almost like regular, like vaccines became, and then you can control them. And then one day, this turns into like a movie. One day, everyone just like stands up and like walks outside and like gets on board the planes to like invade America. You know, they all have AI, like supercomputers controlling them perfectly. And they become super, super soldiers. Basically, everyone from China is Captain America. And they come over here and they kick the crap out of us.
Okay, something that's funny, but something you said did bring up an interesting concept in my mind, and that is right now all of these chips, what they're doing is they're doing and they're integrating AI, they're read only, right? Like they've transcoded your thoughts and they can read that, but they can't write thoughts into your brain. But you brought something up interesting with the moths and the rats that is making me think about like, what does that look like and how do they write into your brain? And I think one of those things is not literal words. It's not a spoken voice perhaps in your ear or like your subconscious mind pops up with something, but maybe it's a feeling. So if they can make you feel like vertigo or like dizzy for like firing in your brain, I don't have any doubt that that would work. So what if China has chips in everybody? I'm trying to think of like a realistic thing. Like this isn't far-fetched. China has chips in everyone's brain, reads every thought. But every time you think like freedom is good, it gives you a sense of vertigo. You just start feeling sick and you're like, ugh. Like that would be a very easy way to do right into people's brains. That'd be a very like easy way to, it's just like the feeling, like you feel sick. You're gonna have negative associations. I know like this is such a funny story. When I was a kid, I read some sort of book. And it was about like the Amazon and the gum tree. And I don't know if they eat the gum from the gum tree or that was just in my mind. I heard that anyway. So all of a sudden I had this idea that like out in my backyard, there's all these pine trees and there's this tons of sap that just like pours down them. And I'm like, oh, the sap from these pine trees is like gum. Cause I read this book about a gum tree. Mm-hmm. Anyways. So like, I like took a huge gob of sap and I started chewing on it. It got stuck in like all over all of my teeth. Was not the glamorous gum tree experience I was expecting. I wonder how old I was at this point. Anyways, I like couldn't get this like sap out of my teeth. I tried eating like cornbread, couldn't get it out of my teeth. And I don't know if I had the flu, but later that night I threw up. Anyways, to this day, like I love the smell of pine trees and everything, but like when I smell pine sap, it just reminds me of like barfing. Oh, because I barfed that night and I barfed out a ton of pine sap. It's probably bad for you. Like it probably was my body, you know, rejecting that. But in any case, like I have this association with the smell of pine sap to like having it stuck in my teeth and throwing up. And so like that sick feeling. And I think sick feelings are like an incredible memory thing, right? We have like these memories attached to smells or to sounds or to places. And I think it would be a very easy way to manipulate public opinion about topics if you could read their mind and when they thought a certain thing, you give them a sick feeling.
Totally. That's an interesting idea. One that's not, hasn't been told before. Have you heard of the book Brave New World?
Yeah.
So in that one, isn't that the one, I'm trying to remember if this is the right book, but they issue propaganda through radio waves. It's like subliminal messaging. Maybe that's not the one. The one I'm thinking of, it's like, that's like you hear like radio, but it's like regular radio, but like in the background and like the white noise of the radio, it's like just propaganda messages of like fear and stuff like that. Or
I think
it's telling everybody
1984.
What's that?
I think that might be 1984 by Orwell.
Did they make it into a movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Does it have kids in it?
I haven't seen the movie. No, the one with kids in it, I think, was Brave New World. That one's okay. Like where everyone's doped up on drugs, kind of. And
yeah, they're just suggesting things via this propaganda, and they're like, they're saying like mass, you know, like everyone goes and buys a hat on a certain day, and it's going to drive people listening to this crazy that we don't, we're not referencing like the right title. But anyways, the point is, yeah, if you can make people feel like even if you put on the news that this thing is happening and then you just made everyone feel fear, like they would naturally associate like that fear with the thing that they're seeing, right? Mm-hmm. To be inside their head though is even crazier, to know when they're thinking the thing and then make them feel a certain way if they could write that into their mind.
Yeah, I think I'll probably have to do more research on this, and I'm sure a lot of people are looking into this right now anyways, but I'm just curious to see what the capabilities of writing into your brain are, like through electrical pulses, like how you can make people feel. Obviously like dizzy or vertigo makes sense. I want, like, maybe you can make them feel bad, like electrical pulses on certain parts of their brain. I wonder the ultimate though is if they find a way to like stimulate like pleasure or happiness or something like that, like dopamine. If they can stimulate dopamine with electrical pulse and like sick or vertigo or sickness with electrical pulse, it's game over. It's like everyone will just literally be classically trained to like and dislike certain things because of how they feel around those things. So that could be absolutely terrifying.
Dude, all the biohackers are going to be like, awesome. Like whenever I like get up and do a cold plunge, I like automatically make my brain like feel dopamine. And like whenever I go to bed early, like I get dopamine from that. Like, yeah, I've like rewired my mind.
Yeah, this Neuralink thing is epic. And like, that's the terrible thing is like, you know, people will do that. So like, that's how it starts. And is it terrible? I don't know. But like, yeah, you'll literally be able to rewire your mind, right? And like me coming from a background of like positive affirmations and psychology and all that kind of stuff, my last software company, like rewiring your mind is a big thing, but this will be like literal physical rewiring of your mind. And maybe you'll get a go program. Like, this is the schedule I would like to follow. This is the outcome I'd like to see. So when these things happen positive, when these things happen negative, classical training, and then you just like set yourself up like programmed that way.
Yeah, it'd be like buy my new program on positivity, but like instead of a program where you read it, you just like upload it to your Neuralink, and it just like, it's like, yeah, now from now on, like when you do these certain things, like you're gonna feel a certain way. Like that's crazy,
dude. It's gonna be like how all of the Instagram influencers, they sell like presets for your photos.
Yeah,
you're gonna buy like a psychology preset. It's like, this is like Alec Hormozi's mentality preset, where like he has his brain tuned to be just like this, and this is how he's achieving his results. And you're like, click download, and then you like expect to achieve the same results.
Yeah, you start growing
preset.
You start growing like long black hair and looking into the camera to get jacked. Everyone's building $100 million businesses all of a sudden. It's like, what?
Yeah, that'll be crazy. Okay, Matt, well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We better wrap this thing up, but as always, super insightful conversations. If people want to follow Matt, go check out PromptBox and check out AppRabbit if you are looking to build your own custom app. I am Jaden Schaefer. Make sure to join the link in the description to join our community online and also get our weekly newsletter and stay up to date on the wait list for some exciting software we are going to be launching soon. Thanks so much and have a great day.
If you are looking for an innovative and creative community of people using ChatGPT, you need to join our ChatGPT Creators Community. I'll drop a link in the description to this podcast. We'd love to see you there, where we share tips and tricks of what is working in ChatGPT. It's a lot easier than a podcast, as you can see screenshots, you can share and comment on things that are currently working. So if this sounds interesting to you, check out the link in the comment. We'd love to have you in the community. Thanks for tuning in to the AI Hustle podcast. If you could do us a massive favor, we would really, really appreciate it if you could leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. This helps people find the podcast. It helps people know this is a good place to go. And we would really, really appreciate it as it helps us continue to bring on incredible guests and share incredible content for you to listen to.